WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, Mid-Michigan and beyond? I'm Isaac Constance, filling in for Al Martin today. Sir, King, Prince, whatever you want to call him, but he's actually out of town for a personal reason, and I'll be filling in his shoes for today. But we've got a great show on tap, and we're going to close the week out right. Gosh, I am happy that football is back. Let me tell you that up front. We had the Detroit Lions playing last night. Of course, they lost, however, to the Cincinnati Bengals, but no big deal. It's preseason, so we're going to analyze all of the little nuances of that game and extrapolate what we can. We're going to give you the full analysis right here. Also, we've got Brett Cass, former Current Sports production assistant, and you guys might most remember him for his segment, which was Brett's Bonehead Moves. Brett's now a reporter and sports anchor on the weekends over in Traverse City. So we're going to talk to him, see how his career has been going so far. Also, the Detroit Tigers finally snapped that losing streak last night against the Boston Red Sox. Big game there. We're going to review that. Also, Ryan Lochte, the U.S. swimmers. We've got all the updates on that. Plus, don't forget, Olympic updates and Reflection Friday with a very interesting LeBron James feel to it. Once again, I'm Isaac Constance filling in for Al Martin. And if you've got any questions, any comments, anything that you want to contribute throughout the hour, feel free to call in. 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. Or tweet me at Isaac Constance. Hey, I'm ready. I'm not sure if you are, but we're going to get going. Let's start the show. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. Last night, the United States Olympic Committee asked Brazil for forgiveness for the distracting ordeal that has taken the world by swarm after Brazilian authorities claimed fabricated reports of a gunpoint robbery by a group of American swimmers in host city Rio de Janeiro. The behavior of these athletes is not acceptable, nor does it represent the values of Team USA or the conduct of the vast majority of its members, the statement said. We will further review the member and any potential consequences for the athletes when we return to the United States, end quote. On Thursday, police in Rio de Janeiro suggested that the United States Olympic swimmers Ryan Lochte and James Fagan be brought to court and indicted for their false reporting of a crime, according to a civil police spokesperson. The recommendation of charges is in the wake of Brazil's police stating that Lochte, Fagan, and fellow swimmers Jack Conger and Gunnar Bentz, who said that they were held up at gunpoint in Rio at a gas station, were not robbed, but instead vandalized the bathroom by breaking down the door and then fled the scene. Security video captured the four re-entering the Olympic facility in a jovial manner. Reports widely circulated indicated that the four had been indicted, although those reports have yet to be confirmed. Lochte remains in the U.S. and has issued an apology on social media. We'll read that to you later on in the hour. Green and White Days inside Michigan State training camp premiered last night on the BTN, Big Ten Network, providing an inside look at the team as MSU undertakes its fall training camp. The pilot 30-minute show covered the first few days before training camp, as well as the team's first official practice. A big focus of the show was the team's earn the jersey mentality. Fame actor Jeff Daniels narrated that. The team's back-to-back mantra for the upcoming season, receiving back-to-back Big Ten championship trophies, is the goal for it, of course, also received its fair share of the publicity, and the filmmakers focused on the storied custom of wearing green dress shirts to the first day of fall practice, very unique to MSU. It will continue to show on the next few Thursdays until MSU's first game against Furman. And the streaks are over. Finally, Tiger fans, take a long, deep exhale because the Tigers finally won one after a three-game skid to the Kansas City Royals. Cabrera had one memorable night for his 1,000th RBI with the Detroit Tigers, and Detroit went on to score three runs in the eighth, putting on the comeback caps for a 4-3 surmounting of the Red Sox. Boston's six-game winning streak was snapped, and the Tigers regain their footing following the Kansas City series. Detroit's offense finally stopped sputtering after homing only one run in all of the three consecutive losses to the Royals. It was ugly recently, but the Red Sox deuced up in the eighth to go up 3-1, and the Tigers rallied. Cabrera's run-scoring single edged it to 3-2 and gave him 1,000 RBIs for his Detroit tenure. A V-Mart single and a Romine walk with the bases loaded gave the Tigers their required 4-3 win. Francisco Rodriguez took the mound in the ninth and got his 34th save in 37 opportunities. Ian Kinsler's caught an infield line drive by hotshot rookie Mookie Betts for the final out in the ninth inning with runners isolated on second and third. Clutch play. Then it got from worse to worse. It got bad fast, in fact, for the Lions as they lost their first home preseason game 30-14 to the Cincinnati Bengals. Detroit started its regular defense minus only linebacker DeAndre Levy, but was trampled on the opening eight play. 74-yard touchdown drive capped off by a 9-yard Jeremy Hill touchdown run. The first team offense scored just 3 points on three series before Stafford was withdrawn in the second quarter. Stafford was sharp again, however, completing 8 of 11 attempts for 113 yards, but also again, he fumbled after a shattering sack as Cole Wick entirely missed an oncoming rusher. Running back Theo Riddick managed just 17 yards on 7 carries. Levy, Amir Abdullah, and Eric Ebron did not play, however. Multiple times during the Lions' loss to the Cincinnati Bengals, there were boos from the crowd of 47,340 fans at Ford Field. Boos. Already, I'm not kidding. There were boos in a preseason game. Yeah, I'm going to rant and sound off on that later. You can believe it. The most noticeable came when backup quarterback Dan Orlovsky threw a pick six for just about the second straight game, and Jake Rudock then entered the game, the third string QB for the Lions, and was applauded grandly by the fans. Then good news for MSU, they'll find out soon whether their star linebacker Ed Davis, ruled out of 2011 and again in 2015 because of injury, will be eligible to play this upcoming season. He has not yet graduated from school, but has been taking summer classes and is potentially eligible for a rare sixth-year redshirt of NCAA allowance and is set to graduate soon. Once he graduates, the school will begin the process of applying to the NCAA for that sixth year, an acceptable medical redshirt for Davis, and then wait to hear back. Today is the last day for his late summer semester classes, and the application does not have to be submitted before the season starts. Davis, a Detroit Southeastern product, started 12 games at strong side linebacker and made 58 tackles as a junior in 2014. He was an All-Big Ten honorable mention. He also missed the 2015 season with a torn ACL after all the hype surrounding that. He got that in preseason camp. And then, big ups to the city of New Orleans, who garnered its third recent NBA All-Star game in 2017. The event, originally scheduled for Charlotte, was moved by the league because of an unacceptable transgender bathroom law. So, hey, just for my personal interest, I'm happy it's back. And then also make sure to tune in today, 2:30 Friday. You know the city of Flint will be, as Clarissa Shields is in the semifinals and is going to try to fight for a spot at gold. That wraps it up for your current sports quick hit headliners. Next up, let's get to the intro.
Stafford. And he feeds Golden Tate for another first down. Second and 11. Good pocket. Now he'll throw up top. Watch Jones. Got Jones inside the 30-yard line.
Matthew Stafford throwing away from the safety.
24-yard field goal attempt from Matt Prater. And it is good. On a first and 15 for the Bengals in their first possession of the night. Dalton across the middle, a little high, but it's hauled in by one of the best receivers in the game, A.J. Green, using that 6'4", 210-pound frame.
And forcing Dalton to throw the ball high. A.J. Green's a superb receiver. He goes up and gets it. But if you can get that kind of push from Nada.
Signed a big offseason deal to stay here for a while. This is going to be a touchdown for Jeremy Hill. Stafford wants to throw. A little quick slant to Golden Tate. He'll pull away, get a first down, and muscle his way past the 45-yard line. Good play action. Two-man route and intercepted. Down the far sidelines is Daron Smith, and he will score for the Bengals. McCarron, touchdown! Beautiful back shoulder throw, and Tyler Boyd has six.
Throw it away from the safety, and it's an easy catch for Tyler Boyd for six. Too much room, and a free release allowed him off the line of scrimmage too easily.
Needs 5 yards to keep the drive alive. Down the middle, intercepted! And into Lions territory. Floyd Raven.
To protect his wide receivers, he sneaks it in for score six.
Washington touchdown.
There you hear the storyline, play-by-play, scoring drive by scoring drive of the Detroit Lions, 14-30 loss to the hands of the Cincinnati Bengals last night, taking place in Ford Field. I've got to just say, to start off, and underneath that soundtrack, you hear Drake, Summer 16, the instrumental, of course, coined the term Summer 16 myself, 16 spelled S-I-C-K-S-T-E-E-N. Just because everybody's sick, including myself. So excuse me if you hear a little bit of rasp in the voice. It's not intentional. But anyway, the Detroit Lions kicked it off for their home preseason opener last night. And I've got to say, as somebody from New Orleans, I'm wearing the hat right now, and I'm so proud that we got the All-Star game for 2017. But I'm really not biased. I really don't lean towards voting for the Detroit Lions. So when the game came on last night, it was more of a vocational interest for me. You know, it's like I'm from New Orleans. I'm going to vote for the Saints, the Lions. I need to know how they do. I don't care that much about it. But watching the game was just so refreshing. It's like getting a nice drink of water from a fresh stream after a walk through the desert. Really, it's just football is back. And for me, it's such a dry spell throughout the summer when it's just baseball. Baseball and nothing else. And the Olympics has been nice. It's been a little bit of a comeback. But as much as I can care about sports like track and gymnastics for a couple of weeks, it's not my passion. It's not like football. And football is back. So seeing the Lions in the light blue, the sky blue, once again take the field in Detroit against the Cincinnati Bengals with a lot of interest in the crowd and amongst us media members just to see how all the new acquisitions look, how players respond to the absence, the void left by Calvin Johnson. I was excited. And I know everybody within this entire state, the diehard Lions fans were too. So I encourage you guys, call in. Let me know what you thought about the game last night, because you'll certainly hear your fair share of my opinions on the issue. 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. I'm Isaac Constance, filling in for Al Martin, the regular host, of course, of WKR's Current Sports. But my takeaways, listen, you can't take too much from the scoreline. I don't care if it was 30-14 or 56-0 in either direction. What you have to do with these games is look at individual players. So I was up late last night taking notes, reading analysis, and I came away with a few things. First of all, you saw the Lions defense start off, as you heard in that intro, taking the field against the Bengals, and the Bengals just marched down the field. No real resistance from the Lions. Only 8 plays, 74 yards. Jeremy Hill prancing into the end zone with a nice 9-yard run to cap it off. And the Lions defense is not necessarily shorthanded whatsoever. Their first team defense, that's not nothing. Or that's not anything that you'd necessarily look to and say that's an area where the Lions are sort of bereft of their regular starters. However, what the Lions did lack is DeAndre Levy. So you've got to understand that midfield core, the linebackers, They're not yet set for the regular season. And I do think DeAndre Levy, you will see him week one when all the pads are on and all the excitement is really in the air. DeAndre Levy, of course, though, not playing last night. And that's just more of a precautionary measure from the coaching staff. So we didn't see him, and we saw sort of what the Lions missed. However, I did see guys like other guys in the linebacking core, like Keith Van Noy, really step up, the second-year player from BYU. Also, Haloti Ngata looks better filling that defensive tackle role, and A'shaun Robinson didn't come in until later in the game, showing me that maybe he still has a little work to do. So besides that first drive where Andy Dalton and co. marched down the field and easily put up seven on the Lions, it really wasn't too bad for that first-string defense. Then we see the Lions respond on their first drive. Matthew Stafford was popped later in the game. But the first few drives, the protection was pretty good. Antoine Bolden looked like he could be that good mid-range downfield target. Always good for a 10-yard curl because of his big frame, and he always has the hands to make that sort of route work. Then Golden Tate. I said multiple times on this show, I think he's a top 10 receiver. Without Calvin Johnson, I really think he is a target man, moves to that top 10 wide receiver slot in the entire NFL. I'm that crazy about the kid. I was crazy about him when he was at Notre Dame, seeing that ridiculous catch where he towed the sideline, just dragged his feet perfectly with total adeptness to the NFL game already. Very precocious player. And then Marvin Jones, player acquired in the offseason, 5 years, $40 million. Boy, he had a whale of a game. He was the lion on the field last night because they could not stop him. Four receptions and five targets for 65 yards. And he and Matthew Stafford already looked to have a midseason sort of connection and understanding on their routes. That was really reassuring for the Lions. Matthew Stafford, I think, still needs to work a little bit on his mid-range passing game. And what I mean by that is Stafford, we all know, he can chuck a football 70 yards down the field without even hesitating, without even thinking about, without even winding up. The guy's one of the strongest QBs we've ever seen in the game and one of the most ready NBA or NFL players who we've also seen enter the league. He could do that from day one. However, Matthew Stafford, I think, sometimes gets lost when it's the 15-yard routes, when it's the 20-yard routes. And we saw a play last night where Antoine Bolden was targeted and Stafford just totally misread the route. At least I think it was Bolden, but it might have actually been Andre Roberts. But going forward, we also saw Theo Riddick starting in the backfield for the Detroit Lions at that running back position. Amir Abdullah is still out. So we saw him take the spot. Stafford also had a play where it was a simple screen to Riddick. Stafford plummeted a ball right into the upper helmet section of Riddick. No chance of catching it. Even if he would have pulled an AJ Green type catch, Riddick would have been stuffed in the backfield for minus 4 yards. So probably a good thing he didn't catch it, but that was a third down play, a simple screen, just trying to get the quick outlet, and that's the type of play you've got to convert. I think Stafford's the QB for this team, but he needs this diverse, wide-ranging receiver staff in order to expand his game. So that's not just Megatron deep or a screen pass. That's not going to work for the Lions this year because going deep, I love Marvin Jones. I love Golden Tate. But Calvin Johnson is a top five receiver of all time. These guys, at best, are top 10 or top 20 in the NFL right now. It's not good, cut it. However, once we saw the game go on, we saw a little bit more of togetherness from this team, I thought, just in terms of the defensive coverage, because Darius Slay, with great coverage on his side, in my opinion, he played a lot of zone throughout the game, also some man-to-man, though, and he just had a great play breaking up a short third down conversion where he just hugged the receiver on a short route, got there perfectly, coinciding with the ball's arrival. No hint of a pass interference, just perfect defense, looking like he earned his contract. And then Andre Roberts on the offensive side also looks versatile and dangerous for a receiver because he's somebody who's fast. You saw him run around, take a sweep, and also just his speed. He's got a good sense of awareness for where he is on the football field. I was very impressed. Now, my bold theory is, with guys like Andre Roberts, guys like Theo Riddick, who are versatile running backs, and he didn't look overwhelmingly good last night, but I think he and Amir Abdullah will exchange touches anyway once the season starts. Marvin Jones, though, Theo Riddick, Eric Ebron, who I think will have a better season this year, Anquan Boldin, and also Golden Tate. I think this could see Matthew Stafford have a career type of year. And it's because this forces him. It pigeonholes him into a position where no longer do you have the safety net. I think safety net is the best term for Megatron, Calvin Johnson, because safety net literally are designed to catch things. Calvin Johnson literally was born and bred to catch things. He's one of the best receivers, the best physical type of receiver, 6'5", however many pounds, but fast as lightning, with huge hands, always could catch anything within a 10-yard radius of him. He was a safety net for Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford always knew that if I put close to this guy, there's a good chance he's going to go up and get it. And it led him to really overlook some of the other talent he had on the offensive end. It led him to forego maybe a smarter mid-range passing decision. And I think that ultimately plagued the Lions, especially through the first 8 games of last season when they were only, I think, what was it, 1-7 or 2-8? Or 2-6, rather. So Matthew Stafford now will be forced to rely on his other receivers. And that's something that actually I think could really help this team. Now, the problem with that is you don't have the bailout. You don't have the ultimate defense's nightmare in terms of Megatron Calvin Johnson. And you saw that more than anything when the Lions got into the red zone. In the red zone last year, the Lions were 69% on converting opportunities. That's fantastic. And it's because they had guys like Calvin Johnson, who that sort of fade route is indefensible. There's no way that you can stop that if you're the defense. Corners are usually fairly small people too, maybe 6 foot, 6'1" max. So when you've got a 6'5 receiver who could throw down a windmill with a blindfold on, yeah, that's a touchdown more times than not. So the Lions still need to work on their red zone conversions for me going forward, because not having Calvin Johnson really does hamper them in that aspect. But this brings me to my rant, because it was a decent game going to halftime, I believe 20-6, nothing special, but at the same time, nothing to really moan about if you're a Detroit Lions fan too. But once Dan Orlovsky checked in, once he threw the pick six for the second consecutive game, boos rang down from the stands. All the audience started booing Dan Orlovsky. And of course, the Lions don't have the best memories of quarterbacks of the past generation. I get it. But it's preseason. It's your backup quarterback. Jake Rudolph came in. He threw an INT too. And I think Rudolph should be the second string. But at the same time, Orlovsky is a second string quarterback. You're going to put so much stock into this. Fans getting passionate about the preseason home opener where a backup quarterback throws a pick six to a backup defense in a game that doesn't matter, and it was an interception that didn't matter whatsoever. How are you going to boo? This does not make you look good as a fan base, if I'm being honest, from my non-biased, unbiased Detroit Lions coverage standpoint instead of an actual fan standpoint. Come on, y'all. Don't boo.
Hey, Isaac, did you see the this is to the people listening out there. This is engineer Drew Henderson. I'm filling in where Isaac normally sits.
Yeah.
Did you see what Caldwell said? Did you see his quote?
I have yet to see that. What
is it? Okay, I want to get your reaction on this. I'm reading this from the Detroit News. His quote is, quote, "When you don't play well, obviously there's going to be criticism. It's our job to play well, not our job to worry about anything other than that." So I wouldn't take that as a defense of his player.
He's okay with it, yeah. He's okay with it. And that's understandable. I think that's the professional approach from a quote for a coach who
last season, want to throw Detroit fans under the bus.
Exactly. Last season, he was right on the hinges of being fired mid-season, which I thought was utterly ridiculous. But Jim Caldwell, playing it smart probably. Dan Orlovsky, also somebody who doesn't need too much sheltering. He's not a young quarterback like Jake Rudock. If you would have seen Rudock get booed, somebody who the Lions just drafted in the sixth round and I think might be priming for their quarterback position of the future, I could have seen maybe a different approach there from Caldwell. But Orlovsky's a veteran. He's used to being booed because, of course, Detroit, he was the infamous quarterback during all of those horrible, horrible years. And the Lions do look to be bringing it back around, but at the same time, you don't want that memory. At the same time, though, Jim Caldwell, I think, played it right. But just me addressing the fans, you don't boo a preseason game. I'm not sure if you boo an early season or regular season game. But preseason, come on. But Drew, how excited are you for the start of football? I know you're a Lions fan, yeah. Diehard Detroit fan. Are you ready for this upcoming year?
I'll be watching. Absolutely, I'll be watching. I got to be honest, though. I'm more interested in the East Lansing and Arbaugh rivalry. I think that's the hot football ticket in the state of Michigan right now. But, yeah, it's definitely NFL. Always into that. I've got some close friends who I'm jealous of over in Wisconsin that get to see Aaron Rodgers play on network TV every Sunday while we're watching the action from Ford Field over here. But, you know, I don't know. I'll root for the Lions. I got my jersey, and I've born and raised in Michigan, and I'll watch how it plays out.
Yeah, I mean, there's reason for excitement too if you look at it, because the Lions, of course, they took a step down maybe from Caldwell's first year as coach of this team, but they finished off the year 6-2 in their final 8 games. There's nothing that you can really find fault with there. No reason for lack of optimism, especially with DeAndre Levy coming back. I think in many ways, that's even more important than a Calvin Johnson acquisition, just because the Lions need that defensive stronghold shirt up more than they do the receiver spot. Like I mentioned, you've got Marvin Jones now, you've got Anquan Boldin, and you've got the indomitable Golden Tate, who I don't think is going to be stopped by any defense this year. So when the Lions get that defense back to full health, DeAndre Levy back in 2014 had the most tackles in the NFL. It'll be good. Also, nickel packages. I'm excited to see how the Lions turn to coverage this year, because I am such a big Darius Slay fan. I really do think he's a top 5 corner in the NFL. I think he only trails the likes of Patrick Patterson, Darrell Revis, guys like that. And, you know, that's a very short list if you're considering that category. But the Lions last season played 60% of nickel packages. So you see Quandary Diggs look good, as especially a tackler, somebody who can be a versatile, almost linebacker corner hybrid, and that's a rare slot to fill. Needs a little more discipline in the passing game, sticking with receivers off their initial breaks, but he's really looked good. So, hey, if you guys are excited as I am for football season, Lions, Bengals, whoever it may be, call in. 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. In just a few minutes, we're going to be chatting with the new anchor in Travis City for sports for WPBN TV and former current sports production assistant and host of Bonehead Moves, Brett's Bonehead Moves. Brett Cast, of course, is to whom I'm referring, and we're going to have him on the line. But before that, just wanted to rehash a story that's been getting a lot of publicity, and rightfully so. And it's got to do with the U.S. swimming team. And it's just a head-scratcher, head-shaker. Ryan Lochte, James Fagan, Jack Conger, and Gunnar Bentz, of course, broke into a gas station bathroom. They literally kicked down the door. Vandalism. They came home. Security cameras caught them in a jovial mood. And pretty much the timeline of events was on the 14th of August, Ryan Lochte's mom says, "My son's been robbed at gunpoint." Ryan Lochte expands on it. Ryan Lochte says, "Yes, the guy put the gun to my head, forced me to the ground, and took my stuff." And he was like, quote, "whatever." And then, of course, more developments transpire. And we see Lochte then switch up his story a little bit. You see some incongruities between the different stories of all of the different swimmers. One person said multiple people robbed them. The other said only one did. So you look at that and you're starting to say, huh, this is a little weird. A robbery is one of the most traumatic experiences you can go through at gunpoint. You'd remember that pretty fine, pretty down to the detail, and they didn't whatsoever. Then come to find out, the cab driver does not affirm that. The gas station tells a totally different story, and the security tape surely does. Brazilian judges then order the seizure of Lochte and James Fagan's passports, and then they seize Jack Conger and Gunnar Bentz just as they're about to leave Brazil. So Ryan Lochte comes back, and he's back in the U.S. All his teammates are locked up, kind of, waiting for their trial because they are indicted, or they're probably going to be. That's what the rumors are swirling right now. And Lochte today, after the U.S. Olympic Committee and all of the other big names, apologized for his action. I'm just going to read you this before real quick. We will get back to this story. We'll even chat with Brett Cass a little bit about it. But Ryan Lochte says, quote, "I want to apologize for my behavior last weekend, for not being more careful and candid in how I described the events of that early morning and for my role in taking the focus away from the many athletes fulfilling their dreams in participating in the Olympics. I waited to share these thoughts until it was confirmed that the legal situation was addressed and it was clear that my teammates would be arriving home safely. It's traumatic to be out late with your friends in a foreign country with a language barrier and have a stranger point a gun at you and demand money to let you leave. But regardless of the behavior of anyone else that night, I should have been more responsible in how I handled myself. And for that, I am sorry to my teammates, my fans, my fellow competitors, my sponsors, and the host of this great event. I'm very proud to represent my country in the Olympic competition, and this was a situation that could happen, or it could and should have been avoided. I accept responsibility for my role in this happening and have learned some valuable lessons. I'm grateful for my USA swimming teammates and the USOC and appreciate all of the efforts of the IOC, the Rio 16 host committee, and the people of Brazil who welcome us to Rio and work so hard to make sure that these Olympic Games provide a lifetime of great new memories. There's already been too much said and too many valuable resources dedicated to what happened last weekend, so I hope we spend our time celebrating the great stories and performances of these games and looking ahead to celebrating future successes." Yeah, I'm going to rant about that after the first break. Okay, I'll save you all that. 517-355-9527 if you want to jump in. Again, that's 517-355-9527. We're going to hit our first break, and after that, we will have Brett Cast on the line, former Current Sports host of Brett's Bonehead Moves and Current Sports anchor and host in Traverse City for WPBN-TV. We'll have him on. Hang on the line. This is Current Sports.
Wherever a story develops, the Newsday team will be there.
Newsday's Shaima Khalil in the Egyptian capital.
Thousands of Mohamed Morsi supporters are still gathering here, really waking up to the dramatic events of yesterday.
I'm in the center of an absolutely extraordinary security operation.
Follow the story wherever it leads with Newsday from the BBC.
The BBC on AM 870 WKAR.
In the city of Lansing, more than 60 murders are still unsolved. Families are longing for closure. Police are looking for cooperation.
I may know who committed a homicide, but that's not good enough in our country. Obviously, we have to prove it beyond a reasonable doubt in the court. And to do that, we have to have people come forward and tell their story.
Current State takes you behind the headlines. Weekdays at 9 and 6 on 90.5 FM.
Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Once again, I'm your host for the day, Isaac Constance, filling in for Al Martin. He's out for personal reasons, but we'll be back in this seat, rest assured, on Monday. But we just finished up chatting about the Detroit Lions. Of course, them losing their first preseason game at home to the Cincinnati Bengals 30-14. And I just read you the apology letter of Ryan Lochte following all the transpired events in Rio. Very, very insincere, if you ask me. I'll go off about that later, though, because we do have somebody patiently waiting on the line, and that's Brett Cast, sports anchor in Traverse City for WPBN-TV and former Current Sports production assistant and host of Brett's Bonehead Moves. And, Brett, I've got to start off the conversation by saying I'm so jealous. Dude, your Snapchats of you sitting on the beach? Come on, man. How'd you land that?
Hey, I'm loving it up here in Traverse City, man. I came up here, you know, a couple times growing up, and, you know, now that I'm up here, it's just, wow, I mean, fantastic. I work the morning shift, too, so, you know, kind of it's hard to get up and be at work at 4 a.m., but to be off at noon, you know, and be able to spend the whole day out at the beach, it's pretty nice.
Yeah. How is the new job for you?
I'm sorry?
How is the new job so far for you?
Oh, it's doing great. I mean, I'm only, you know, a week and a half in. The hours are kind of hard, so I anchor sports now on the weekends. So about to start that first one will be tomorrow night. So, you know, I kind of work evening shift on Saturdays, Sundays, and then throughout the week I work the morning, like I said, 4 a.m. So, but it's going really well. You know, it's nice to kind of be in the, you know, in the real world now.
Oh, of course. Congratulations are in order, of course, first off. But is it still odd introducing yourself now as a sports anchor?
It is a little bit. You know, I'm so used to saying I'm a journalism student or I'm pursuing, you know, a career in this. And here I am saying I have a career in this right now, you know. So that's really cool to kind of be able to say that, you know, what's been my goal for so long and that I've worked so hard for at Michigan State, you know, I'm finally able to say, you know, it's pretty much, you know, kind of starting off here.
Well, and watching you in person, of course, I can attest that you earned it. Now, onto sports topics, however, do you have Olympic fever right now? Have you been following all of the events in Rio?
You know, I have been a little bit here and there. So we're an NBC station where I'm working at right now. So our 11 o'clock news now goes on at, you know, after midnight once the Olympics is over. So a lot of times I'm working the sports, I'm kind of forced to sit there and watch it anyway. But I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed it watching Phelps, you know, make history like he always does. Usain Bolt, that guy's just incredible. You know, the interesting story to me is the whole Lochte situation, but
I'm sure
you said you've talked about that. But I've also just enjoyed watching the other random sports you see, and it was kind of upsetting. I watched U.S. Volleyball, the women's team, lose yesterday. You know, they're going to be playing for the bronze, I believe, in the next couple days or today. Mm-hmm. But it's been pretty nice to see. I haven't really watched any the U.S. men's basketball yet, but plan on doing that here and other in the semis, I believe.
Oh, definitely, yeah. And shockingly close game so far in that competition. But I've got to ask, we've seen Michigan athletes, of course, all over the field in the Rio Olympics. Is there anybody from Traverse City who's, or from that region, who's really been notable?
Yeah, well, Alicia Glass, she's on the women's volleyball team for, you know, the U.S. team. And she played at Penn State. But she's from, you know, I'm still learning all the cities around here. I think she's from Leland, I believe.
I think I saw that.
I learned the area around here. But yeah, she's. We did a story, actually, feature story on her. Our sports director, Harrison Beebe, is also actually my roommate now. So he did a story. He's also a former Michigan State grad, but he did a story on her and you know, where she's come from and now playing. I believe this is her first Olympics. So you know, unfortunate that they won't be able to play for a gold medal, but nonetheless, they're still a pretty good team. That, I don't know if you watched the match yesterday versus Serbia, but it came down to the final, throwing the volleyball term set, I believe, out of 15, and they barely lost. It was a close. It was very interesting to watch, though, but, yeah.
What position is she? What's her role on the team primarily?
I forget the position. She's, like, the main one, the setter or the...
Oh, okay. Yeah.
What person in the middle, you know, that has a different colored shirt, I believe that's her.
Uh-huh. And has the whole community sort of rallied around her and been watching all of the events pretty carefully?
Oh, definitely. We, you know... Up here, especially in a market like this in Traverse City, you know, the main focus is a lot of the local stories rather than all the national stories. So we've been kind of updating everybody on Alicia and, you know, the volleyball team. The volleyball team is kind of taking precedent a little bit over other things. But, you know, we try to, you know, highlight those Michigan athletes, especially those in our local market.
How did you come across the job, right? Were you just hunting randomly, or did somebody sort of refer it to you?
It's all just luck. It's all being at the right place at the right time, or you know, being in the right place at the right time, and also just kind of being prepared for that moment too. I was speaking with another reporter who now works at WNEM in Saginaw. His name's Andrew Keller. He used to work. He actually was a Focal Point student, a Michigan State journalism student. And I had spoken to him a few times. I met him actually while I was covering the Bernie Sanders rally at Michigan State.
Yeah.
The Breslin Center. I was covering that. Talked to him. So I kind of kept in contact with him, and I told him I was looking for jobs. And he's like, "I'm gonna call my old news director down in Traverse City." So called up the station here and talked to them, and then came in for an interview, and then the rest is history.
Yeah, great lesson for all of the interested MSU students listening within the Comm Arts and Sciences building. Once again, we're talking with Brett Cass, sports anchor in Traverse City for WPBN-TV and former current sports production assistant. Mm-hmm. Brett, I've also got to ask, what are the big sports up in Traverse City? What do people really get excited for?
I mean, I think it goes without saying high school football is first and foremost the biggest, thing around here. I'm going to be working Friday nights and covering all that, and I'll be working on a high school football show up here. So that's a pretty big deal, I think, in all kind of small communities where there's not really a professional presence or even a big-time D1 presence in the market. They have high school sports to kind of go back on. And I know basketball is pretty big up here too, I believe, but right now we're kind of kicking into football gear. We're covering all the practices and hiring, previewing each team. I'm from the Metro Detroit area, and no Detroit station would ever come to a practice of ours. So it's a lot different in that aspect. But I'd say high school football is the best. I hope the years of covering, DeWitt-Hazlett rivalries or whatnot will pay off. When I'm covering some big games up here.
Well, and I've got to say that was one of my favorite things about coming to Lansing and the East Lansing region is being able to pay attention to all these kids' aspiring dreams as mm-hmm. high school athletes. Being from New Orleans, also, we never paid any attention to that. My high school football team, I think on their homecoming, at best, probably had 20 students in attendance, and I probably wasn't even one of them. So it's kind of nice paying attention to all those small school sort of activities. Brett, what are the big high schools up there? Who are people really excited for? Who do they root for?
Well, especially where we're at right now, Traverse City Central and West are, two big teams. I believe Central went 9-0 last year. And then when I was at the practice talking to them, a lot of them mentioned how, they went 9-0, were all excited, had a great year, then played Muskegon first round of the playoffs. And they just talking about, and they lost, actually, 9-0, okay. And they lost in the first round. And they just talked about, they played all the teams of North, and going down state, it's a whole different ball game, basically, is what they said. But Traverse City St. Francis, another big team. I believe the Bulls are from there. So that's a pretty good program around here. I believe we've covered, Gaylord, Kalkaska, Grayling, trying to think of all the names here, Claire, there's a million teams. But the big ones around here, for sure, the two Traverse City teams have a Patriot game they play. It's the rivalry game. So that's a big game in town. And then, obviously, St. Francis has a history of being a really, really great program.
Of course, I've heard of them deeply through their run last year, I believe, in the state tournament. So, anyway, I've also got to ask, being on the Great Lakes, does that change the dynamic? It seems like everybody from that sort of region does a lot of sailing and sort of water activities. Have you seen a lot of that within the Traverse City region?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, sailing is a huge thing around here. Biking is also a huge thing. There's a lot of trails along the water, along the bay, and, around this whole, there's a couple of peninsulas you can ride around. But definitely sailing. Like, I'm out of the beach, every day, like I said earlier.
Yeah.
And I'm just sitting there seeing everyone sail out there. I think we've done a couple of sailing features in the past. I haven't had a chance, and I don't know how to sail either, so that's hopefully something I can learn while I'm up here, though.
Don't make me jealous, please. That's all I'm asking you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, talking with Brett Cass, sports anchor in Traverse City for WPBN-TV and a former current sports production assistant. Brett, also, I've got to go on. I've got to take it to more of a local feel. Are there more Michigan or Michigan State fans within the region?
It's really weird. I actually haven't noticed much of either. Like, it's
really?
Like, back in East Lansing, you see a lot of Michigan State flags, Michigan State signs. And even back in Metro Detroit, I see a lot of House Divided signs or Michigan or Michigan State. You kind of see all over. There's not much. I don't see a lot up here. I think right now it's a lot of touristy season. you know, especially around here. So I don't know what the allegiance lies. I know at my station there's a good amount of Spartans here. I don't know if there's any Wolverines. I don't think there are any, actually, now that I think about it. But there's a good amount of Spartans here. Most of us that are in state are from Michigan State. So I guess in my newsroom I can feel a Spartan fan base. But I haven't really explored enough in Traverse City to really tell. But I think up here it's more Michigan State, but I really haven't seen much of it yet.
Is there a predominant fan base of any college in Michigan then? Either Central or Western, I'd imagine, would be the other competitors for that slot?
Right, yeah. I mean, Central or Western. But a lot of people who are even alumni of those schools will probably still say that, you know, Michigan, they'll probably say they're a Michigan fan or a Michigan State fan when it comes down to that rivalry. Still takes precedent over everything else.
Of course. Now, Brett, what's the coolest event you've either covered so far, and I know you've just been there for a week and a half, so I'm actually guessing that the coolest event you are anticipating, what are you looking forward to?
Okay, anticipating. Well, yeah, because I haven't really covered much. I've been on because I do news during the week, so I've covered a couple of interesting stories that have come across the police scanner here and there. But nothing, well, it was a little weird, but I'm not going to get into that, but anyway, looking forward to, I'm definitely looking forward to working the high school football show.
Yeah.
And there's not necessarily an event in particular that I can think of. Again, you know, I got to learn all the rivalries, the big games, the big events. We have the Patriot game, but I believe our other sports guy will probably cover that. But I guess I'm just looking forward to covering all the big high school football games because I think, you know, we'll talk about the big events that are happening in the big, you know, touristy cities around here. But I think some of the best events to cover will be, you know, those small town Roscommon, Houghton Lake rivalries that are, you know, a little bit more small town, not as touristy, like, you know, the two, you know, neighboring cities that are going at it. I think that's going to be something that I'm looking forward to covering, kind of the small town games.
Of course. And have you had the chance to interact with any local legends? And if so, who would those be?
That's really funny. He's not necessarily a local legend, I'd say, but you know who Doug Mirabelli is?
I've heard the name.
He played on the Red Sox World Series. Yeah, he's actually my landlord.
Wait, what?
He's a real estate agent around here, yeah.
How did he wind up in Traverse City? He's from, you know, I'm looking up now, too. He's from Kingman, Arizona, went to Wichita State, played for the Red Sox, the Rangers, Padres, and the Giants, and then came to Traverse City. That is weird. Have you had the chance to interact with him much?
I haven't yet. My roommate has. He's the one that kind of got the room and got it all set up before I moved up here, but yeah, I mean, he's, I think his wife might be from around here. I guess I'm not 100% sure on that, but that's kind of what I've heard. I'm not sure, but he's a real estate agent up here. I think overall, too, it's just a great place to retire, and I think a lot of people realize that. But yeah, I think he was the main catcher for Tim Wakefield, the knuckleballer who was with the Red Sox.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's kind of a small world. And then I guess all over town, you know, there's a lot of, like, a lot of the high school football coaches are probably big names. The one high school football coach I interviewed at Traverse City Central actually used to be in my position, was a weekend sports anchor at 7-4 News in Traverse City, which is kind of a funny story, small world. But.
Yeah, very much so. And, Brett, also I've got to ask, have you been able to keep up with the people down East Lansing much whatsoever, and are you getting ready for college football season?
I'm getting ready for college football season. I'm pumped. I keep looking at, you know, the rankings, getting excited for the season. Looking at this, I'm looking ahead mainly at the schedule. What's upsetting is that I work weekends, so not really much of an opportunity for me to come down and visit tailgates like a lot of my other friends are who graduated this year. But definitely looking forward to watch from home. Hopefully I'll be able to. I'm kind of trying to swing it if I can cover this Michigan State game. I don't think I'll be able to, but that would definitely be a cool experience. But I'm excited for the Spartan team. I really think I think a lot of people are underestimating. I don't know if it's more underestimating state or just way overestimating what Michigan's going to be this year. I don't know where everyone's coming up with college football playoff and national championship for Michigan. It's just a little too soon, in my opinion, but maybe I'm a little biased too.
Yeah,
so.
It's certainly the dialogue going around town, and I'm sure the same thing is trending in Ann Arbor right now. Of course, Michigan, being primed for spots in the playoff, maybe a little bit premature. With that being said, they will have a good team. Should be a really interesting rivalry this year.
Yes, Brett, especially after last year, this is going to be a great game.
Oh, yeah. And can't top that, of course. That sets the bar way too high. But anyway, I've got to ask, too, from your time at Current Sports, have you had any bonehead plays recently? That's what you were famous for down here.
Well, I think it's quite obvious right now. It's Ryan Lochte. I mean, this whole situation is just blowing up. It's like you're telling your, tell your mom some white lie, like where you were, you know, hanging out with a friend or something that spiraled out of control. And then instead of like her telling her friend, who happens to be her friend's mom, she tells the media, and then the media goes nuts, and then everything just spirals out of control. And then you try to keep covering your lie. I don't know. It's just, the whole situation is just a little messed up. But I guess that would be the biggest bonehead move I could think of. And I think Draymond Green's had a little bit bonehead move of an offseason, too.
Yeah, that's been more than a move. That's been quite the long time period for him. But, yeah, that's really what we were thinking. Drew Henderson and I, the engineer, were actually guessing beforehand what your answer would be. And both of us unanimously said, there's nobody besides Ryan Lochte who can take that crown right now. Last of all, Brent, I've got to ask you, the Red Wings, of course, have a camp in Traverse City. I know you weren't up there probably for when it's happened just yet, but are you excited for that, and do you really look forward to it?
You know what? You completely just, like, reminded me of something I totally forgot about. Yeah, that's, like, one of the big things we cover. When you talked about events earlier, I didn't even mention that. I don't know how, but, yeah, no, I'm really looking forward to that. You know, kind of get a chance to – I think a lot of the Detroit media also comes up for that, and, you know, kind of get to see a professional team in town. That'll be really cool. I know when I was interning last summer at WDIV in Detroit, we had some footage of that, and I was like editing practice packages of that. And that was the first time I learned of this Traverse City hockey thing. And I come here and they all talk about how big of a deal it is up here. So yeah, definitely looking forward to covering that.
All right. Thanks so much for taking the time, Brett. Once again, Brett Cass, sports anchor in Traverse City for WPBN TV and former current sports production assistant. Brett, we really appreciate the time, and hey, enjoy the wineries on Old Mission Peninsula and Luanu Peninsula and all the beaches and the nice weather and the lakes and oh my God.
I'm going to go to a wine place tonight because it's my last Friday night to go up before high school football season kind of kicks off. So I think we're going out to try some different wines tonight. So funny you mention that.
All right, let's take him off the line right now. Let's do that. Once again, Brett Cass, sports anchor in Traverse City for WPBN-TV. Brett, thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me, man.
All right. Next up, we actually have another caller on the line, and we're going to hit him right after this break. We're going to hit our second break of the day. Again, I'm Isaac Constance, filling in for Al Martin on WKAR's Current Sports. Al's out of town. We'll be back on Monday, but right out of the break, we'll hit you with an Olympic update, Reflection Friday, and we've got everybody's favorite caller. Hang on the show.
Whether it's state politics or local issues.
I want to make sure that when they walk over in the morning and throw the switch on the wall, that they know their lights are going to come on. I don't want them nervous when every time a cloud comes over, that a thunderstorm might interrupt their service.
Current State looks at Michigan from all the angles.
It's not a narrative people want to hear because it doesn't fit the image.
What you need to know, what you want to know. Current State daily on 90.5 FM and AM 870 WKAR, always at WKAR.org.
Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. My name's Isaac Constance. I'm filling in for Al Martin. He's absent for today, but he will be back on Monday. And we just finished up a really enthralling chat with Brett Cass, sports anchor in the Traverse City area for WPBN-TV and former Current Sports production assistant. We covered all sorts of topics. And hey, if you missed that, just check back online, WKAR.org, right after the show's over. And you know what? We've got 6 minutes left. Still time for maybe another caller in addition to the one we've got right now, 517-355-9527. We've got Ray from Indiana, though, on the line right now. And, Ray, I want to start off by wishing you a very happy birthday in advance. It's Tuesday and 67, right?
Right. I just got done jogging. I don't know if you have any Longhorn Steakhouses down there. They only got one here in Fort Wayne, and they made me Employee of the Year.
Wow.
Becoming Customer of the Year. Give me a $150 gift card plus a Indian jersey and an Indian hat. How about that?
And that's your team, too, the Cleveland Indians. I know that's your team, and they're separating themselves from the Tigers right now.
Well, I'm not going to count my chips for the hat.
Yeah.
It's still a long ways off, 6 weeks. I'm pretty happy so far the way they play. They've come from behind last night against the White Sox and won 5-4. We got to get Sal's our straightened out. Our pitching staff's got to get straightened out for the playoffs.
Now a 6-lead game over the Detroit Tigers, however, looking pretty good for that, looking good for a playoff spot. But you're right, there are a few issues that need to be addressed.
Yeah, there's still 6 weeks left in the season, so I ain't counting my chips for the hatch. But hey, thanks for that birthday update there. I just think that. Do you have any Longhorn Steakhouses up there?
I wish, Ray. We need the Dancing Fox, and we also need a Longhorn Steakhouse. Man, if we can get those, we'll be set for life.
Wow, they got great food, I tell you.
Oh,
anyways, I want to tell the bullies up there, Jim Harbaugh. Okay, you can't have your cake and eat it too. If you want publicity 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, like Harbaugh's doing, when you get a couple players in trouble, you can't just stonewall the press and not tell them what they got trouble for or anything else. Who do you guys think you are? You're not above anybody else.
Yeah, I was very intrigued in the message of yourself regarding that as well. Jim Harbaugh, of course, more or less snubbed the media after they asked why two players were suspended for what, who they were for, how long. And Harbaugh just walked out of the press conference. We actually got done chatting with Brett Cast, who you may remember, right, for his Bonehead Plays segment, as well as now he's a sports anchor in Traverse City. And he said that he thought U of M was most likely a little bit overhyped for the season ahead. And I know you're feeling on that, but what's the recent development?
Who was that you were talking about?
Brett Cast. He was an intern and production assistant here before getting a full-time job in Traverse City.
Well, you can't have your cake and eat too. Come on. If you guys get those guys get in trouble, you got to tell them what they got in trouble for and what kind of penalty you're giving them. That's what I don't like about all these football coaches, including Harbaugh and all the rest of them. They get to make the decision, and they're only going to sit out one quarter, one half, maybe one game, and they could have did something terrible, and it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
they want them back on the field for the big games.
It's the opposite of the NFL, where you've got dictator in charge, Roger Goodell, ruling with a steel fist. In the NCAA, it seems like way too often the schools make the decisions regarding these. Ray, great call as always. Thank you so much for chiming in today.
Hey, God bless you, buddy. I'll pray for your family. You pray for mine.
Yes, sir. Will do. All right. And that brings us just 3 minutes left in the show. We're going to try to squeeze in a quick Olympic update that we're going to hit right now. So it was a clean sweep for the first time ever in a women's event in Olympic track and field. The favorite, Brianna Rollins, crossed the line at 12:48 to take the gold. And then Nia Lee and Christy Caslin took silver and bronze. Really impressive from that women's Olympic team right there. Unprecedented. We've seen a lot of that in these Olympics. That's right. Give them a hand, folks. Then the 200-meter final went, just as you'd expect, with Usain Bolt once again proving how superior he is to every other runner in the entire world. He ran the 200 in 19.78 seconds. Doing the math, that's less than 10 seconds every 100 meters, and easily won it once again, adding to golds from Beijing and London, giving himself a triple-double in some respects. Then, finally, the women's 4x100 meter relay team stepped up onto a track by themselves all alone because they had been disqualified after dropping the baton in the race before. However, they got a successful petition to the games to allow them to rerun it because the runner had been bumped, causing the drop. And that protest was good enough. They finished in 41.77 seconds. China timed in at 42.7 seconds in the actual competition, and they were ruled out. However, they will run in lane 1 or lane 8 instead of the prime middle lane. The team consists of Tiana Bartoletta, Allison Felix, English Gardner, and more like Akinson. That wraps it up for this week's Olympic update. We're going to hit a quick Reflection Friday with just a minute left and hit your run it to the weekend. Here we go. All right, I really don't have too much for you guys whatsoever. However, I do want to give a special shout out to Clarissa Shields, the Flint boxer who we heard on Wednesday from the mayor of Flint, Karen Weaver. We thank her for joining us as she boxes her way and tries to for a gold medal. She'll take the podium today. right at 2:30. So make sure to set your TVs right as soon as the show is over. Also, how about Paul Pogba? A deal done, the most expensive in soccer history, 105 million euros. And that wraps it up for this week of Current Sports. I'm going to struggle to get the rest out, but I'm Isaac Constance filling in for Al Martin. We thank you all for joining us, especially Brett Cast for calling in. Also, thanks to Ray, and thanks for Drew Henderson for engineering. Once again, I'm Isaac Constance filling in for Al Martin. Be easy, people, and have a great weekend.
WKAR East Lansing.